Good morning, everyone. It is me, your host, Sharifa Hardy, and it is Monday, and I'm so excited to be here with you today. I have another amazing show with amazing guests that I'm sure you are going to love. But before I introduce our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to help me promote this show. We have so much going on, and we want you to share this show with your friends so they don't miss out on all the education and entertainment that you have the ability to watch today. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to introduce our first guest. Our first guest, you may recognize her name, her face, her smile, her business, but I'm pretty sure by now you will recognize this guest. This is her fourth time appearing on the show. And each time we laugh and learn so much from Allison Allman. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. As always, I love being on your show, and this is a great morning. It's sunny.
Yes, it is, but it's been like 90 something degrees.
Well, I didn't.
Like,
I'm not focusing on the heat part. I'm just focusing on the sunny part.
you have to focus on the positive. I feel like that was like a ninja, guru moment. You have to focus on the positives. But I digress. Allison, tell us a little bit about your business and about being the organization maven.
I love organizing. I love helping people. I am really good at it. I know that in school, we're all encouraged to do what we love and have that be your career. Well, I flopped around in about 10 different industries in my 20s and 30s before I realized I'm going to do what I love. I'm going to organize. So I help people that are overwhelmed, don't know where to start. They have clutter in their house, they have clutter in their garage, they have clutter in their lives, and they are just in a constant state of chaos. So I come in and bring order and redefine their home spaces, redefine where things will live in their home, and I remove the clutter and organize the rest, and then go on to the next home in Southern California.
Where in Southern California?
Well, I live in Fullerton, California, but I have clients in North Hollywood, San Clemente, Newport, Irvine, Rancho Cucamonga, Ontario, Chino Hills. I've yet to go to Catalina. That'd be a really nice day trip. It'd be weird logistic wise on trying to get all that clutter off the island, but I'm up for the challenge.
One of
Everything's
the things.
a jigsaw puzzle for me. I love challenges and puzzles and figuring out how to get it done.
Yes, but one of the things that's so interesting to me about you, and one of the reasons I encourage people to return often, is because it allows me the opportunity to see your growth and to watch your growth. And one of the things that I've learned is that when someone is growing their business, they also grow as an individual. And I have watched you grow as an individual because you're taking more risk with your business. You have pivoted with your business. You have customers in Southern California, but you've also been doing organizing via Zoom. Tell us a little bit about that and how that's working out for you.
Well, I haven't done any on Zoom. I made it available, but no one's taken that opportunity to do it. I think because two of my selling points when I do the consultation is I'll do the heavy lifting and I'll do the hauling. So it's really hard to do that via Zoom because I can't lift like through the screen or I can't. So most of my clients have some kind of injury of some sort, so they can't do a lift of any kind, or they're elderly and they can't lift anything. And so my young, strong body comes in and does the heavy lifting for them. So I think I guess people underestimate with me being a woman that I'm going to be fragile or frail, and I work like a man, get it done, and lift up really heavy stuff. And then stick it in the back of my pickup truck and haul it away. And so I'm breaking the mold on frail women.
I just added a whole category, Zooms and everything like that. But I know when we were on one of our past shows, you talked about some of the things that you were able to do remotely as far as letting people know what they can do to be organized, some tips, some strategies on things that they need to let go of. One of the things I really like is your recipe for success as far as organizing things. If you haven't used it in a certain amount of time, then what do you do with it?
Well, I do run into that very often, where people hold on to things just in case they need it in the future, just in case that they need that iPhone cord from their, iPhone 3, and we don't have those chargers, those anymore. I do, I guess, allow people to keep certain things that they're really holding on to, but I make them tell me when they'll use it. So an example I've used before is where a mom that has, three or four kids under the age of 10, and she wants to, use her circuit machine or use her sewing machine or something to that effect that's relaxing to her, is to do some kind of craft. But again, she has three or four kids under the age of 10. So I could tell you right now, she doesn't have any free time. She doesn't have any alone time. She doesn't get to go to the bathroom by herself. She doesn't get to eat her food hot. There's a lot of things. And so she's like, I'm going to keep the circuit machine, for when I had time to do a craft. So I kind of talk a little bit more on creating that alone time, getting a babysitter, making the dad take the kids out for an all-day adventure so that she gets her alone time to, use the restroom, take a nap, and use the sewing machine. And so usually when I bring up those time management skills to use that thing now versus when the kids get later, then it kind of either gets the gears turning, like, yeah, that is totally doable. I can get dad to take the kids out for the day. Or, yeah, no, dad can't take the kids out for the day. I'm just gonna get I either get them to realize the time management skills, or they get rid of the sewing machine because it's gonna be. So then they'll be like, well, I'm going to use it when they're older. Okay, well, so when they're between the ages of 10 and 20, you're going to take them to soccer practice, and you're going to take them to baseball practice, and you're going to take them to the drama club, and you're going to be their chauffeur for 10 years. And there's going to be no, unless you bring that sewing machine with you in your minivan, then it's going to be kind of hard to do it. And then they go, well, what about when they go to college? Oh, yeah, all of your kids are going to go to college. Okay. So then they're going to live on the dorm, and then you're going to have all this free time. And now your sewing machine is obsolete and doesn't have any parts for it, and you have to go buy another one. So I kind of give, like, I guess, realistic bad news.
I love
Tell
it.
them their lives are over and that they can't use the sewing machine. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying, like, use that sewing machine now, and then carve out that alone time now, or else you're just gonna be fall into the trap of being the chauffeur and being this and being that, and you are gonna lose your identity. You are their mom. So your free time and eating your food hot and taking baths alone have ended until they're like 35. And then you're gonna be grandma, and then you're not gonna have any time anyways. So
Well, thank you for that view. It's like you're going to be busy, you're going to do all this stuff, and then you become a grandma. So, okay, I am looking forward to becoming a grandma. But what about clothes? Let's discuss clothes. Like, what if we have clothes that are about in five different sizes?
Well, to me, clothes aren't important. I just have a different view on material items. I've moved 30 times in the past 20 some years. So I slimmed down my wardrobe down to what I'm wearing now. I don't really have anything that's super expensive. I think the most I spend on a shirt is like $38, and that's expensive in my world.
In my world, after about $9.99, maybe $6.99, I'm like a raw high five. I'm like a raw shopper. If it's too much, I'm like, I can go. I got a $4.99 store right down the street. So I $38. That needs to be shoes, outfit, all of that combined. But that's just me. I'm gonna come back to you, Allison. I'm
Okay,
gonna
go
go
ahead.
ahead and introduce our next guest. I love it when I have the shows where I have return guests are so easy for me. I love all our new guests who will one day be returning guests. But when I have returning guests, they already know. They just start talking, commenting, sharing. And I know you will enjoy our next guest. This is her third time being on the show, and she's always a pleasure, and we always learn so much. I want to introduce Belle Walker, founder and lead consultant of Bellevue Consulting. Good morning, Belle, darling. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am delighted to be back. This is always such a great experience. I love the guests that you bring on. I always learn from my fellow guests. I always learn from you. And there is a reason I am not only back for a third time, but already have my fourth visit on the calendar.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love your picture too. Can I have it?
Yeah. So this picture I think of as my personal Rorschach test. It's a lovely way to break the ice on conversations with, especially with potential new clients. And any guesses on what I have back there?
I'm gonna let Allison guess. She's good at that.
It just looks like a lion eating something.
Lion and
or
horse.
A ram, maybe a yeah. ram. I see horns.
So that is actually a satellite image of.
I see a hand. Is it a hand?
Yeah, it's two islands off the coast of Australia. So let's see if I can do this in sort of mirror. So this right here, there we go. That's one island. And then that's another island. And the rest of all that beautiful imagery is sand and ocean intermingling.
Ooh.
Allison, you saw a whole, I'm wondering about you, Allison. You saw something completely different.
Okay. Well, it's one of those images where there are two different things. It could be a duck or a horse.
Right.
And I will see the duck and everyone's like, I see a horse. And I'm like.
Allison, you're like, there's a duck, there's a horse, and Allison sees the wolf. Like for some reason, like. Anyway, I digress, which I tend to do, which is why this show is so freaking interesting. Tell us about yourself, Belle, and what you do.
Absolutely. So I am a business consultant. I take organizations from friction to function. And what that means is that a lot of companies, they evolve, they change, they grow over time. Recently, most companies have had to grow and change quite a bit as the pandemic has upended our world. And if you only change one piece of your business, you tend to create these misalignments in your various systems. So for example, if you were a business-to-business company and you shifted to now be business-to-consumer, which happened a lot in the food industry over the last couple months, for example, your customer service needs to change as well. When you're a business-to-business company, you tend to have a few very large clients that need very careful hand-holding customer service. But in a business-to-consumer world, you now have a ton of clients who all need a much lower touch but uniform degree of support. And so if you may even tell your customer service team that, but do they have incentives? Do they have bonuses that are dependent on certain metrics? And if you haven't changed those metrics, they're still going to be paying attention to your business clients to make sure they get their bonuses. It's only reasonable, it's only natural. And the way you can ensure success for your change is by making sure that all the pieces of the business, your organizational structure, your incentive plans have changed with your new focus. And so that's the kind of perspective I bring to my clients, looking at where those decisions have happened in a vacuum and they made sense, but there were impacts to other pieces of the organization that may not have been taken into account.
What I've seen over the last 4 months, as far as that pivot, is the majority of companies going from brick and mortar to virtual. Like that's the trend, obviously, over the last 4 months. And I know there are some companies who have had friction in being able to make their transition. I've seen companies who have been unable to make that transition. What have you seen as far as patterns of companies that have successfully been able to make that transition?
That's a fabulous question.
Thank you. I'm going to have myself on that.
I particularly like that you're asking about the patterns of success, not the patterns of failure. And what yes. I've seen in the patterns of success are leaders, business owners who are taking that broader perspective or are asking for help in taking the broader perspective. So if the only thing you are thinking about is I'm going to take my brick and mortar business and I'm going to move it online and I'm not going to make any other changes, you're probably not going to succeed. There's so much more to a business than whether you are in a store or whether you are online. And you need to think about, you know, has your sales model historically been that you've got the best pieces in that front window? You really appeal to window shoppers. Well, if you're trying to take that online, how do you get that window out there? Just moving your business online and assuming people are going to walk into your site the same way they did to your store, it's not going to happen if you're not finding ways to advertise in that new environment to replace the window shoppers you don't have anymore. And so, you know, many people are able to think that big picture themselves, but for leaders who want a little bit more support, there are people like me out there who are ready and willing to help them make sure they are considering the whole picture so that they will be successful through that transition.
You made an excellent point. I'm so glad to have you here, because when you were speaking, I just had a visual of a store which basically was successful simply because of foot traffic. You have stores that maybe they're in the hottest shopping center in town and they're right next to the Target or right next to the Walmart. So people see their boutique, they see their store, and they happen to walk by. Or, you know, maybe they weren't next to such a large store which remained open, but maybe it was just a whole shopping plaza of smaller stores and then everything is shut down, but all of their traffic came from foot traffic. So now it's like, okay, what do I do? So Belle, I'm asking you, what do I do? What do these companies do?
I think the key is to zero in on what you think made you most successful in your previous state and to find ways to replace or replicate those elements in the new mode. So if you were adjacent to a big store or adjacent to foot traffic, find advertising strategies that will put your business in front of consumers who are now finding something similar. If your customer service, you had the best people helping out shoppers to make sure they had great fashion advice or found something that really fit them well, make sure you've got a chat function, maybe even enable customers to set up a video conference with your sales team to make sure that they're continuing to get that customer service. That what makes a business successful is unique to that business. Mm-hmm. And so as a business owner, as a leader, you need to think about what are the elements that you need to keep or replace if you don't want to lose the success that you've worked so hard to build.
In the past 4 months, have you seen a change in the messaging that businesses were using? This is one of the questions that I ask often. I may have even asked you this before, but I really enjoy hearing the responses because, you know, prior to COVID-19, our primary focus was to sell. It was, this is our product, buy this product, buy now, get it here, low, low price. Get, you know, that was our message. And then COVID-19 happened and we saw a transition into more advertising that was more of service. You know, how may I assist you? We're here for you. I always remark about the Verizon Wireless commercial that I saw. And it was just like, we're here to help you. We are available 24 hours, 7 days a week at VerizonWireless.com. And I was like, okay, but hasn't VerizonWireless.com been available for like 50 years? You know what I mean? Like, we didn't just need a whole COVID-19 for your website to be available 24 hours, 7 days a week. But the tone and the voice that's used has changed, or am I wrong?
I think you're absolutely right. The tone has changed, the messaging has changed. And I think it's another element that companies need to be consistent about throughout their entire model and structure. If the face that you have presented to the public is shifting from a messaging tone of sales to service, that's another example of a place where you can't just pivot one piece of your business. Because if you put out a commercial that says, we are here to serve you, and then you call up your cell phone provider or your cable provider, and they are still in sales mode on the phone, it doesn't matter how much they spend on that advertising campaign, you're immediately going to realize that this is just a commercial. It's not truly who they are and what they're representing. And so regardless of how the messaging changes, I think it's critical to make sure that it's not just a message. It's something you're incorporating and living throughout your customers' interactions and experiences with you.
That didn't happen with me. I'm with my phone provider is T-Mobile. And I love T-Mobile. They're wonderful. But I just wanted, at the beginning of COVID, I wanted to test this out. I saw their We Love You, We Care commercials. And they're like, if you need any help with your bill, give us a call. So I gave them a call. And I'm like, I saw you were on the list of companies that worked with you during COVID. And the guy was like, yes, we're here to work with you. I can make you a payment arrangement. And I'm like, that's nothing new. I could have had a payment arrangement before. I was like, forget it. I'll just pay the bill. But it's just like their message was like they were going to do something super unusual. And I'm like, that's kind of regular. But it is what it is. I'm going to come back to you, Belle. I've been stalling because I'm going to introduce our next guest. And typically, usually, almost all the time, I don't get nervous before introducing guests. I'm nervous now because I don't know what our next guest is going to say, but I am going to introduce him anyway. Can't just let him sit there. Our next guest is Joshua Shea. He is a recovering pornography addict, and he is the author of 2 books all about assisting other people with what? Porn. Good morning, Joshua. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I just want to let you know that my third book actually came out last week, and it's a look at the pornography industry from both the sides of the users and the producers, specifically during the pandemic itself, and how much the industry of online pornography has literally changed in just the last 3 or 4 months. And if you're at all concerned about the health of the people of the world, it's something that I know pornography is a taboo subject, but we need to talk about pornography, pornography addiction, the people who are accessing it online, the people who are now making it at home, not realizing the repercussions. Because if we don't do this soon, 20-30 years from now, we're going to have a massive health crisis in this world.
I was going to ask one question and you just sent me into a completely different question, but this is going to be interesting. I find this because I believe that all things in moderation, right? There are some people who believe, like, what is the harm in porn? Like, they have a little fun, is entertainment. That's what some people believe. But what has been your experience, and why are you so passionate about pornography addiction?
Well, I'm passionate about it because I dealt with it for 25 years. I have been sober from it going back to April 1st, 2014. And the reason I'm passionate is because when I finally decided to get my act together, I also am a former alcoholic, and I quit both of them on the same day. Mm-hmm. And being somebody who has a training in journalism and news, I did what a geek like me always does. I went to research. I went to the bookstore to find books on addiction, on alcoholism, and on porn addiction, and there was nothing there on porn addiction whatsoever. And I think that people have this stereotype of a porn addict being this sketchy 19-year-old pervert living in his mom's basement who's never kissed a girl in real life. And the reality is, you know, I have a wife, I had 2 kids, you know, really nice house. I owned 2 companies at the time that I had to make these massive changes in my life. I actually went to an inpatient rehab, and I met doctors, lawyers, you know, mothers, nurses, sisters, you know, anybody you can imagine, every color, every demographic, every religion has been affected by pornography addiction. And perhaps, you know, this quickly, the scariest statistic I share with people is that there was a recent study done by a group out of Texas called the Barna Group that found out that 32% of men between the ages of 18 and 30 self-reported that they either look at too much pornography or they believe that they have a problem and perhaps even an addiction in pornography. That's 1 out of 3 men under the age of 30. So if we don't start talking about this, pornography addiction is like every other addiction, because addiction is addiction is addiction. You know, it leads to a ruined life if you don't turn it around. And we need to start talking about this, because since the advent of the internet, since we now give every 12-year-old the greatest porn computer they've ever had in the world, we're not managing how we deal with pornography in our society. We're not talking about the potential dangers of it. We're not talking about the fact that it can lead to addiction. And that's what needs to happen. I'm not necessarily anti-pornography. I know that there are plenty of people who can look in moderation, just like there are people who can gamble or drink in moderation, but there are people who can't. Yet I don't think we're talking about this as much as we need to as a society because of the taboo subject.
You are deep. This is interesting. So I guess what makes it an addiction, or what is defined as an addiction, is behavior that you're unable to control. Like, I literally know people who would be at work and they still have to be at their computer, you know, looking at porn, or people who, I don't know these people, but there are people who maybe their spouse left them because, you know, they're watching too much porn. But it may seem like an obvious question, but I'm going to ask it. What is the downside of porn?
Well, number one, it's an addiction. It actually changes your brain chemistry, and not in a healthy way. It also contributes to loss of relationships. Like you said, there is the marriage kind of relationship, but also just, you know, friendships, familial friendships that get lost with addiction. And it also completely warps your view of sexuality. It can lead to physical issues. One of the biggest issues happening with men from 18 to 30 is what's called PIED, or porn-induced erectile dysfunction, where these men have become so used to porn, so desensitized to it, that when it comes to actually having sex with their partner, they can't perform unless pornography is playing in the room, because that's the only way that they can sexually perform. And this is happening to a lot of men out there in society now. But again, it's one of those things we're not talking about. Among married couples, those who view pornography together to spice things up, if you track them over time, 3 times more of those couples divorce than couples that don't watch pornography together. Obviously, that's not the only correlation to draw towards divorce, but that's a pretty stunning number. It's not a healthy thing to do, because at its core, when you reduce it completely to its base thing, pornography is just about objectifying people. There's no fancy way to change that. It's about objectifying people. You know, when you look at pornography, you're not wondering what that person contributed to society. You're not wondering how smart they are. Are they a good father or a good mother? It's just about body parts. It's just about visualization. And reducing somebody to that and training your brain to reduce somebody to that is not healthy.
You have definitely done the research on this topic. Let's talk about your third book. I planned on talking about your second book, but your third book intrigued me. It talked about COVID-19, what's going on now. And so what have you seen, or what are you seeing during this pandemic? Because I talked earlier with Bill about the list of companies, and a lot of companies put out messages. I actually saw an entire list. That's how I found T-Mobile was one of these companies that, you know, are here to help you during COVID. And surprisingly enough, Pornhub was on the same list. And they were giving people free memberships. And I'm like, okay, just common now to see a Pornhub or see a company, you know, in a list of all other companies.
Well, Pornhub itself is kind of the mainstream porn company, and that's the one that most people know about. But there are actually 2 or 3 other porn sites out there that get more viewers and longer viewers than Pornhub. It's just that they've kind of looked for that niche in mainstream society to be the sort of acceptable porn site. If you look at their statistics about views, people only spend 8-9 minutes on Pornhub. If you look at some of the other porn sites that aren't so well known and don't market to a large audience, those sites, people are on them 22 minutes. So Pornhub is, you know, all about the mainstream acceptance. Saturday Night Live did a parody commercial about them. You know, they're not going to be doing it on some of these other sites nobody has heard of. Pornhub reached out to three European countries, Italy, Spain, and France, when this first started, and gave them a free week of their Pornhub premium access. In Italy, especially overnight, the numbers exploded. They went up 61% in Italy. Once COVID went worldwide, they did this promotion throughout the world. And while the website Pornhub.com, their views have gone up a little bit, the website Pornhub Premium, which was what they gave away for free, those hits went up, or those visits went up over 400%. And I'm guessing that after that week was done, there was plenty of people who forked over their $9.99 to keep going, because in the pandemic, you're stuck at home, socially isolated by yourself. There's something that a lot of people do on the computer that they don't like to talk about, whether it's an addiction or not. And when you're stuck at home, it's out there. And right now, pornography sites are absolutely exploding, to the point that the demand is so high that some of these sites, for the first time ever, are going out and having to recruit new people to make pornography. It's funny in a way, but there was one site that specifically targeted female McDonald's employees who had been laid off and said, hey, we'll get you far more money than you ever made at McDonald's. Come on over here and try this. And perhaps the biggest one that everybody under 30 years old knows about this site. Almost nobody over 30 knows about it. It's called OnlyFans. And
I heard about that.
It is absolutely 30. Reinventing the make at home porn market. And in January, it was the 600th most popular site in the United States. Come the very end of April, when I wrapped up the research on my book, it was the 40th most popular site in the United
States.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
It took Pornhub 2 years to grow that much. It took OnlyFans 3 months. And OnlyFans is absolutely average, normal people, mostly females. There are some men who just go on there, have their page, interact with people who subscribe, and it is blowing up the at-home, make-at-home porn world in ways that, you know, we've never seen. And what I worry about is, what is the impact this is going to have, not just on the users, but on those men and women who decide, well, everybody else is doing it, or who cares if people see me naked, or just don't think about what the long-term repercussions could possibly be. And we're going to find out what they are in 15, 20 years, much like right now, we're learning about what's the impact on people who have grown up with the internet, who really had no regulation towards porn. Well, it's a very wide open, liberal, skewed view of sexuality, view of intimacy, and view of pornography, because it's all so out there now. I really fear about what happens over the next 20 years if we don't start addressing it as a society.
You are very interesting. I have more questions for you. I want to pass along a message for Allison. Allison Debbie Adams says hello. So she's tuning in to watch you and support you. You might want to give a shout out to Debbie Adams.
Oh, thanks, no. Debbie.
She's like, no, okay. But I want to go over to our next guest, because we've been talking and the conversation's getting so interesting that I've been taking a little bit more time than usual. But our next guest is a radio host with over 2.3 million listeners. She is a queen. Sunita Shannon. Good morning, Sunita. How are you? Sunita, are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
That's like interesting. I get to the moment where I introduce her. She's been here all morning, and then all of a sudden, when it's her time, Sunita's gone.
Looks like her video froze. So I imagine that was not her choice to leave.
No, but when people freeze, they typically come back. But while we're seeing if she's going to come back, a lot of what Joshua said was so interesting. I would love if Belle or Allison, did you have any comments or response to Joshua?
I had a question about coming back to this notion of the increased usage during COVID. My understanding is that there's some open questions around addiction in terms of predisposition versus extended exposure. And so I'd love if you could provide some clarity around the how does addiction form? Is it, you know, for especially for something like porn addiction, is it a case where more people accessing is going to increase the number of addicts because once they've been exposed, they're going to very quickly escalate into addiction? Or is it a situation where it's exposure over time that evolves into addiction, or do we even know?
We don't fully know, but it's also both. You know, if I give five people alcohol, statistically one will develop a problem. If I give 100 people alcohol, statistically 20 will develop a problem. So what the real difference is, I mean, porn addiction has always been there. Pornography has always been there. You can go back to cave paintings and you'll find some triple X stuff on those walls. But the thing is, the internet brought it into everybody's home in a very easy way. When I first got addicted, when I was 13, 14 years old, I considered myself lucky because I found a video store that would rent to me. I could ride my bike there. And I was pretty much a porn addict from the moment I saw it when I was about 12 years old. And same thing with alcohol. So when people say, is it real? Alcohol was the exact same thing for me. As for what's going on in the brain, science does recognize that essentially the same thing happens in a brain, whether it doesn't really matter the drug, it doesn't matter the behavior. Now, obviously different addictions will cause different things. You know, I'm not going to have the damage that being addicted to heroin might cause. In my brain, but you know, somebody who's addicted to gambling is going to have far more financial ruin than probably someone who's addicted to heroin. So there are individual things, but if you look at the brain chemistry, everybody talks about dopamine, but there's actually six different chemicals that all respond to your pleasure sensors. And much like alcohol, where you have to, you know, start with beer, you move to wine, you move to spirits, or gambling, where you bet $100, then $500, then $1,000. Pornography is the same way. In order to get you essentially burn out your receptors, and you've got to keep adding to it. You've got to keep getting more. You've got to keep getting things excited. So it acts largely as any other addiction does on a cellular level. There are people who absolutely believe it has to do with your genetic predisposition. There are others who think it has nothing to do with it. I believe in my case, looking at my family history, looking at my life, I believe it's three things. I think number one, there is family history there with the alcoholism. Number two, that I think that it's just a certain way that I'm wired, that I was born, because there are people in my family who are not like me. And then the third thing is that I just think I made a lot of poor decisions along the way, either from lack of education or wanting to be defiant and take risks and, you know, appear to my more prurient interests as a young guy. But ultimately, I don't know that it matters. It's a lot like when people come to me and say, I do coaching as well for both addicts and their spouses or girlfriends who have to deal with the betrayal trauma that comes out of finding that your partner is an addict. And I always tell, if you don't want to use the word addict, don't call it addict. Don't call it addiction. Call it whatever you want. The deal is we have to fix what's wrong with you. We have to address what's wrong with you and how you got there. Because like any other addiction, usually pornography addiction is just a symptom of a much larger problem that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. And I guess I also had a question for Allison, but Sharifa, I don't know if we wanted to.
Yes, go ahead. Absolutely.
Yeah. So Allison, I'm curious if in the organizing work that you do, how often do you uncover signs of addiction or deeper problems? I imagine that there can be some hoarding tendencies or hiding tendencies that are revealed when you're digging through someone's things. I don't know if this is something that you've run into in your own work.
Well, I run into a lot of, it's mixture. I either uncover that people are alcoholics by finding alcohol in their closet, like in their boots and things like that. And so I kind of jokingly go like, oh, found another bottle. You might want to keep this, you know. And so then kind of wading through the conversation, because I have access to I guess they're more intimate things, especially most of my clients are women. I think I only have like maybe 3 or 4 men, and the other, you know, 97% is women. A lot of it is they don't have anyone to talk to. And so when I'm working one-on-one in their closet and I see more than one bottles of alcohol, I start asking different questions and how receptive they are to getting help, or, you know, if they have, you know, 4 kids under 10 and they don't have time to do their sewing, they're not going to have time to, or feel they don't have time to go to an AA meeting, like, you know, so because their only alone time is to sit in the closet and, you know, watch something on Netflix, drink, eat, whatever. That's their alone time. That's how they cope with having, you know, 4 kids under 10. And so so I kind of tread and be like, you know, there's lots of options out there. I usually tell them about Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian faith-based recovery program, I guess you can call it. Or I ask their permission. Can I get you in contact with someone? Are you open to ideas? I kind of have to tread lightly because I'm not a therapist. I can't fix them. I'm just there organizing their closet, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if I plant that seed of here's an option to get help, I have access to other things to do it, I'm a safe person that they can talk to, you know, what happens at, usually I cover this during the consultation, what happens at their house stays at their house. I don't, blab about it. I mean, when I take my before and after pictures, I just put the city. I don't put the client. I don't put their address. I don't put what I found. I don't, you know, any of that kind of stuff.
Because you don't take pictures of the alcohol in the boot and post it to social media. Like, look what I found at a client's house today. Alice is over here doing her own interventions. I think that should be a different side of your business. So you can do organizing, you can do garages, and you can do interventions. I just added a new product for you. We do have Sunita Shannon back. We had a few technical difficulties. I want to make sure we have enough time to speak with her because it's an honor and a privilege to have her on our show this morning. And again, Sunita Shannon is a radio show host with 2.3 million listeners. Sunita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, actually, it's afternoon. The sun is setting. I bring you greetings from the Middle East. And I am a radio show personality since the age of being a teenager. That was my outlet. And I began to pivot during COVID-19 to turn back to the platform as my own mental health recipe to assist other business owners with coming before things popped off in America with police brutality. I was already asking the people, let's just have a space that we could talk about our business, our deals, unity, because pretty much COVID taught us that we were all in this together. And so I want to thank you so much for allowing me the space to come on with some phenomenal people. Joshua, I'm also an educator, so just hearing you talk about our children being impacted with this new technology while sitting at home, it allowed me to think about something I didn't before. Belle, the chance for all businesses to realize that you can take this moment to really thrive if you go away from the old way of thinking and begin to pivot into what the future is with technology. Allison, you touched me in a way of not realizing the mental health that comes down with trying to be innovative and bring change into someone's home. My mom was a hoarder, born in the 1930s, Depression.
Yes.
Thank you and Sharifa for this platform. Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me. I love it.
You are so welcome. I'm glad we got the opportunity to speak with you. I wanted to key in on one of the things that you said. You mentioned that you relaunched your platform because for your own mental health. I just want to be a little bit more specific, not too personal, but what were you going through? Was it the isolation, not being able to do maybe your standard project? When did you say, you know what, I've been in the house, maybe there are other people who are isolated and I need to talk to them? Like, what was your motivation?
All right. Well, I will tell you the end right now, like in the beginning, like Pulp Fiction. I'm still in lockdown until September the 13th.
Okay.
This all began February the 3rd. I called to America saying, hi, America. Hi, family. Guess what? Something just arrived here in this country I'm living in, and within 2 days, it went from 3 people to 48 people. So because it's not on American soil, I want you guys just to take precaution. Nobody listen to me. Mm-hmm. By the time this thing hit American soil, what it did for me mentally to feel ignored, to have an entire, you are my country. You, each and every one. Joshua's my brother, Belle's my sister. Allison, you my sister girl, Sharifa, we are play cousins. This,
yes.
All that things were happening at home, it broke me to be away. So then our president sent a whole embassy thing saying, hey, you can come back to America. I was like, I live like a queen out here, baby, with all the maids and drivers and things. And that plane that was supposed to take me back, that mental health day was the flight to JFK. If I wanted to leave the Middle East, I was going from roughly 40 people in this country who had contracted COVID to wanting to get off a plane in New York City that had 30,000 at the time. Mm-hmm. This platform to return back to radio was just one that I got a call from a Jamaican radio station called Caribbean Radio Show. And they were like, Mama, return. The people want to hear you. Uh-huh. And I was reminded from, you know, just people from the past were like, we used to listen. And my niece was like, Auntie, if you talk, people will want to hear you. And it's been an amazing journey ever since. That's been self-healing to come on and know that people who are your guests are healing me in the midst of providing a platform for people to talk about their business.
Uh-huh. Mm. So what are some of the things people just, because I'm trying to get on your show. So I need to know what do we need to talk about as far as business to get a spot on your show?
Well, we welcome everyone. Some of the major topics have been the challenge I put out. Last year, the challenge was I'm getting 10 people in my family to start a business, LLC. Mm-hmm. And blessed, it happened. So the month of July is all about getting 10 people this month. You know, it's the 13th today. Mm-hmm. I had 4 people already call through sharing the show, through listening to the podcast, through listening to the radio show, through going to the website. Some of the students that I work with in many universities in America were like, hey, check this out. You know, this is Miss Sunny that used to work with me at Benedict College, Clemson University, Fayetteville State University. Shouts out to everyone. They reached out, shared, and more people are just, I'm hoping to get more than 10 this month of people just putting the word out. So anyone that wants to be on my show, you just simply go to Queen Sunny Honey. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on the Caribbean Radio Show right there on Facebook. We have a platform right there on our website. Go DM a sister. I welcome everyone. You have people like you who come onto the show. Let me tell you how you saved me mentally. I'm in lockdown February to September 13th. Every day that the sun rises, I get the opportunity to meet Allison, Belle, Joshua. I get a chance to have that phone conversation because you know no one's calling and checking up on you. You know people are in their own world. So it becomes a learning experience, not just a place, a safe haven for others to come and use this for it's actually 2.4 million people since last week to come and share. Tell this audience of people out here in this world what the issues are. Joshua, tell parents what they must do. If you're going to allow this device to babysit your baby, make sure you know what's ahead of you. Belle, all the businessmen, they got their grandpa mentalities. It's time for grandma to hear this thing on the radio like she did when she was a kid listening to shows and say, you know that Sharifa show? Belle told me. Now, everyone in the family said the same thing, but somehow because a phenomenal Belle comes along, people are more open to the concept. Allison, as people deal with gerontology, putting their people into nursing homes, not wanting to put people in the nursing homes, checking on people for the first time because of COVID, people are stuck at home. You never visited grandma before, but now you're concerned. It's people like you, Ms. Sharifa, who comes from California running in a political aspect that people need to get the word out. 2.4 million people are sitting at home for the first time in their lives, not doing anything, but waiting on the wisdom that's inside of each of us. And I welcome you all to come to the Caribbean Radio Show anytime.
Nita, it is amazing listening to the way that you have taken what's happened in this, you know, 45 minutes already and blending it seamlessly into the way that you are speaking. I am very impressed, and I can only imagine that the guests on your show must feel so heard and so valued, and I can understand why your listeners must be coming back again and again. Thank you.
Yes. I mean, I just want to copy and paste and second everything Dale just said, because you can tell in your professionalism, you can tell this is what you do. I love that you did it repeatedly, from Joshua to Belle to Allison to Sharifa. You brought out specific aspects of who they are, not just their business, but what stood out to you about them. And I think that's a gift. I definitely hope that people go to Queen Sunny Honey and follow you and go ahead and be a guest on your business show, but don't go too fast. Okay, wait about, let me see, like 15 minutes, because I'm going there right now after I finish this show, and I'm going to be the next guest. The last thing I want is 2.4 million people to get in line before me, right? Dale, Allison, Joshua, I'm watching y'all. If I see y'all on the episode before me, I'm going to know y'all cut out the round table talk show early. See, Joshua, I see you. I got my eyes.
I'm watching you. Yeah, that's why we have multiple devices.
I'm watching you, okay? That's okay. Sunita's going to put me first. She's going to be like, this is my girl. She introduced me to these people. I'm going to have her on the show. I'm just speaking for Sunita, but that's what I feel. I feel that in my spirit. Sunita's just laughing at me.
You're all welcome. Yes, and I found you through listening to your show and hearing a phenomenal woman, Ms. Chandra Gore.
Ooh, no, that is my girl. Thank you for mentioning her. I love her. She shares everything that I do. She supports everything that I do. Chandra has been on my show probably 5 times. And I have a new talk show, my third talk show, which is Face to Face. It's a talk show because on the Roundtable Talk Show, most of my guests are entrepreneurs, authors, they're business people. And we've been taught that you don't discuss politics and religion. And sometimes with everything going on in the world, Black Lives Matter, this thing, that thing, I want to ask certain questions, but I respect a person's right not to discuss religion and politics. So on Face to Face, we discuss it all. We get deep into the conversation. That's every Wednesday at 10 a.m. This Wednesday, Chandra is going to be a guest on my show. Chandra has been helping me get my name out there, booking me on certain shows. So if I love anyone, I definitely love Chandra Gore and what she has to do. She shared my video this morning, and I'm just so appreciative. But I want to go, after all that glowing about Chandra, I want to go back to you, Sunita, because I know one of the things that I'm wondering, I'm pretty sure our listeners is wondering, how did you go from obviously zero listeners to 2.4 million listeners? That's not an easy number to, an easy nut to crack. Can I say that, Joshua, or is that, that's crossing the line?
It's you can say whatever you want. It's your show.
No, I'm just saying, because that's like a kind of, you know, people say that. So, Sunita,
here's the secret. Everybody listening? You listening? Baby, it's a SUSU system of communication. It's the round table concept, exactly what you're doing. When people share consistently, incentive-based, it implodes. When you offer the show that gives you the curriculum that has a landing site on the solution. Specifically, I target solutions because everyone is always looking for problems and the solutions. The algorithm for everything is finding the solution. So when it came down to the platform for businesses, because I live abroad, I have a different community of people who are listening to me, the expat community. Because I am American, that connectiveness for business and all things American that the international world, they want what you have, you know? The weird part was this journey of 2.4 million people is really what it's like to pivot during these times, taking advantage of what came next. So at the Caribbean Radio Show, it was a very small platform, Jamaican radio station, And it took years and years of staggering and having people come in and address issues that was supposed to help people find solutions in Jamaica. Being a person who's an educator, also I work with like 75 kids every day. So I felt like if I could manage, it's like managing 75 businesses. And those share. And my other secret is this. I live in the richest economy on the earth. That's the secret. One US dollar over here is only worth like 33 cents, but one of their dinar is worth $3.38. Take the algorithms of the richest people who have the ability to share, add it to that American passport privilege, and baby, 2.4 million in no time.
I love it. I think that those are wonderful secrets. Those are amazing tips. That's one of the things that I'm doing right now and why I created my new website, which is My Preferred Companies, to introduce my audience to people like you after the show and really get to know what you're doing in your organization. So I would love to have you, as well as all of my guests, join mypreferredcompanies.com, as well as your business owners who are creating their business. It's a resource, and there's free membership on the site where they can talk about what they do and introduce themselves to everyone and become a preferred company. Now, I don't want to go over too much today. I'm just allowed a little bit more time because of the technical difficulties that we experience. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the ability to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's listening live, as well as everyone who's watching this show in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Vale.
All right. This has been a fascinating show with so many different topics. So I'm gonna be selfish for this last moment and come back to some of the things that I specialize in, which is really making sure that you take that broad perspective. You don't just change one element of your business. You think about the entire impact. And I think that that's, for me, probably the key takeaway right now. If you want to be successful, you need to think the bigger picture. And that's one thing that all of these guests today have in common. They've got perspectives into all of the different pieces of your life. They're going to help you find solutions. And so all of us are here for your guest, Ms. Sharifa.
I love it. I appreciate you so much. And we got to go and book your sixth and seventh appearance. We got number four, so we have to get you back because I enjoy listening to you and learning from you. Thank you, Allison.
Yes, I want to thank everyone watching, Debbie Adams and any other future clients of mine. Debbie's a past client, but I mean, anyways.
I digress.
So I really enjoy helping people. I am always seeking more families to help, more, just different challenges. I really enjoy what I do. I enjoy helping people. It makes me feel good at night when I accomplish a project. I sleep really well. I know my clients are sleeping well because I've brought order to their chaos. I've calmed all the things going on in their brain that has overwhelmed them and exasperates them. I really enjoy, help bringing them calmness. Thank you for having me again.
You planning your next visit?
Oh, well, I have to log on and do all that, but I will come again.
Okay, we got to get you here often so we can have these continued conversations.
I did it twice this month. I did it July 2nd and now today. That's improvement.
Some people are never satisfied, huh? She's like, I did it twice and you're like more. I don't know. I just love having you here with me. You're like my safety blanket, like my little Linus blanket that I can hold on to knowing that you're there.
Okay.
Joshua, what do you have for us?
Well, first, Belle, I want to see your cat.
I know her. I saw it. I was like,
oh. All right, let's say hello. This is Miss Katia. She is delighted to be joining us today.
Wow.
she doesn't look delighted at all.
No, but she feels it inside.
This was one of the very rare shows where you didn't hear one of my three dogs barking or one of my cats walk right across the keyboard in front of me. You know, just to sum up, I just want people to recognize porn addiction is an absolutely real thing. There isn't a ton of study on it right now. It's just starting to happen, especially as the internet evolves, but it is an absolutely real thing. There is no such thing as a stereotypical porn addict. Like, there is no stereotypical gambling addict or heroin addict or whatnot. So, you know, try not to pigeonhole people who have the problem. If you believe you may have a problem, get some help. This is a real addiction. If you need any help, check out my website. There's lists of 12-step groups. There's other online groups and other things you can do. That's recoveringpornaddict.com. You'll learn plenty more about me. I write several articles a week about recovery. So, you know, don't let this be the silent addiction that it has been for the last 20 years. And I want to thank all you ladies for making me feel welcome. This is a taboo subject that a lot of times people shy away from. And when I saw that I'd essentially be on The View today, I was like, oh, I hope this goes well. So thank you, everybody.
Hey, Joshua, we had the same thought because I was like, I read your bio and I was like, I hope this goes well, because one of the things about the roundtable is I really don't know all of my guests prior to the show. So I basically just opened up the platform and anything can happen, which is why I love reality television, right? But you spoke about the subject with respect and dignity, and you were informative and you educated people. It wasn't a gutter conversation. You didn't try to scare people. It was just like, these are the statistics. These are some of the things that happen. I've been through it and I'm here to help. And I honor that and I respect that. So thank you, Joshua. And Sunita, you're welcome. Sunita, go ahead and take us on out.
This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, coming always from the Caribbean Radio Show, inviting you to come out and see me every Freedom Friday. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at the CaribbeanRadioShow.com. And to everyone out there that's listening, please know that there are solutions when we come together. Only at the roundtable concept, when you sit there and humble yourself and post yourself around five wise people, baby, you are bound to be the sixth. For everyone that's listening, please like, share. When it's coming to big corporations out there, at the end of the day, we always come home to mama. So let's make sure we support each other locally. If you're going to buy American. If you're going to love somebody, you better love yourself and love on each other. Thank you for having me. And as we say over here, Dubai bye, boo.
Ooh, I love it. Dubai bye. I love that. We don't have that here in America, but I'm telling you, I have to go to Dubai. I used to work for American Express in the travel department, and people always say, where do you want to go? And I was like, Dubai. I want to go to the Middle East. I want to go Saudi Arabia, because I'm looking for a Saudi prince. Okay. I want to be like wife number 39. Right. And people are like, why wife number 39? I'm like, the first wives, they do way too much work. Right. I just want to get married, get a house, get the maids, the butlers, the chefs, and just sit off by the pool by myself. I don't want to do too much work. So we're going to talk about that on your show, because I'm definitely going to be a guest. But I just want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank all my viewers, not 2.4 million of them as of yet, but all of you who are supporting me and what I'm doing. I definitely appreciate you. Please go ahead and share this show. Please share the video I posted this morning asking for guests. That's how we learn about each other, is by you recommending guests for the show. Now, if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. And don't just support the show. Don't just watch our guests. Go to their websites. Visit their websites. Check them out. Find out what they're doing. Follow them on social media. Send them a message. And when you contact them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.